There's a meaning exactly. of data.
I mean, if you look hard enough, you can find meaning everywhere. Mm. Because too many people nowadays, I feel like too many people are trying to overextend their own, like, idea of self. Mm. They try to make themselves more important to more people. Mm. When at the end of the day, you can't really maintain that level of cohesion with so many people. Mm. It's good to have your community and be close with them than it is to be the best person for so many random people, many of whom may not even know you or care about you.
I guess you're talking about that the society have this expectation to us to become certain type of people, right? Mm-hmm. And we're like, oh, we either become like this type A student, we're just like so good at I don't know, like reading books, or I have to be good at doing sports because other people consider that's good. Mm-hmm. Or when we step into adulthood, then we must be like a good employee, we must be a good manager, and also a good husband or wife or whatever, fall into the role that society expects us to do. And however, we do want to take advantage of the modern world that we live in to offer us be able to try different things to understand who we really are. Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah, like a good way of thinking about it is like there's an old adage, they would say it takes all kinds. Mm-hmm. In order for the world to be how it is, you need people to be different. If right. everybody is the same, then you don't get innovation, you don't get invention, you don't get things to change if everything is the same. And so you can't have a good society at all if everybody is the same kind of person, if everybody is all type A, book learning, hyper studious, very focused, then you'll only build something that's beneficial to them. But without considering outside perspective, you may end up making something that's to the detriment of everybody. So you need to consider everyone, all the different kinds.
I see. I agree with that. And I think that especially could help us to benefit from the modern, especially AI era, where now we have all these tools and technologies to help us to be able to do, let's say, a thing that only a company could do. Like now we can literally one person can use all different tools to do this, let's say, four departments, like marketing department, and you can create your own product, and then you can become your own product salesperson, and then you can build your own system to run this whole thing, where only in the past companies can only do that.
Yeah.
So be able to, however, we need to get our own market. We need to find our own niche. And to be able to find our own niche, in Chinese, we call it Sai Dao, means that is your race lane, the where you just like you have to find your own. That is basically niche, right?
Yep.
And you have to find your own lane so that you step on into it. And then you're so good at it because you loved it. And that is where what we call it. Talent, I guess.
Yeah.
And then you have your competitive advantage, or you turn this special things which the society, the groups may consider as disadvantage to your advantage.
But expanding on that a little bit, in order to find your lane, you need to go to everyone else's lane first and see what is there, what do they have, and more importantly, what do they not have? Because if you're trying to find something that makes you different, you need to know what already exists out there. And so it takes a lot of effort and energy, and also a lot of exploration. You need the time to go out there and explore. You need to give yourself deliberate time to look into, and this goes beyond just business. This also goes into things like your hobbies or education as well. In order to see what you really excel at, you kind of need to feel around. Like, for example, when I started my educational journey, I did an Associates of Science with a focus in biochemistry. But then I was doing my electives. And one of my electives, I was recommended by my brother. He's like, take this course. It's Introduction to Health Science. It's a really easy course. You're just going to get an A. It'll be good for your grades. I'm like, okay, sounds like fun. I take the course. I got an A+. But what I got that was more important than the A+ was a new perspective. I understood, as the name suggests, health as a science,
right.
not the science of health.
Right.
And so I got to look into, I got a good experience of things like workplace injury, disability, human genetics and evolution,
right.
As well. I got to look into things like health ethics, mm-hmm. like the choices that are made in healthcare mm-hmm. and healthcare administration, like how certain decisions are made regarding healthcare, how certain standards are set. And this was just mm-hmm. one course.
Right.
This was just an introduction course. Mm-hmm. So I learned a little bit about everything. And that one course made me change my entire degree. Mm. And so it's like 2 degree switches, 7 years, and an honors thesis later, I graduated with a bachelor's of health science right. instead of biochemistry. And right. If it was not for me exploring, mm. Because there were other courses I could take. I have a background in French language as well. So I could have just taken a French course or something like that. But I gave it a chance. I took a risk. I explored out. I took this course instead.
Right.
And the impact it made literally changed my life.
I see. I highly agree with that because I'm same type of people, right? But then I thought it related to my for the characters mm-hmm. where I just mentioned, where like I explore so many things and I realize you have to do some work that I feel just miserable. Like I really mm-hmm. don't like to do it. However, because of that, I get that comparison when I love doing something because it's just like, I mean, everybody love to like lying down and chill, right? Mm-hmm. And a lot, not everybody love to partying, but then there's a certain things that we all love, right? Like a delicious food or having
yeah.
fun.
Everybody has something that they have the one thing that they really enjoy. Maybe they like doom scrolling on their phone or eating good food or going out with their friends yeah. or something. Everyone has like that little guilty pleasure of theirs.
Exactly. But then when we talk about the work we do, the work is that, you know, we have to contribute some kind of value to the mm-hmm. society to be able to establish our career or life pathway, right? So each work or every work require us to put our works. So if we don't have that comparison with what kind of work when we're doing, we're more engaged to it, we're more into the zone, like flow zone, right? Like mm-hmm. Or flow state or other kind of work, we're just completely feel miserable. We're just like, I'm really just doing some kind of chores or I'm just doing some labor work that I don't want it to do. I think that can give us the feeling of, oh, this is the work that I put some hard working in the front, or I also need me to put effort. Mm-hmm. However, I find the feeling that kind of drives me to see the ideal version of myself or to see the future that I want to get into. And I enjoy doing the work and I can get into it faster than doing other works that I don't like to.
Yeah. A good way of thinking about it is you're not supposed to be happy all the time.
Right.
Happiness is a reward that your body gives you for doing something new and something that is useful and advantageous for you.
Mm.
It's kind of funny. A really good example of this I saw on TV was that if you think of your daily routines, if you think of waking up in the morning, brushing your teeth, taking a shower, making breakfast, yeah, the food tastes good, but the rest of it, you don't even really think about it all that much because it is routine. Mm. It's just what you're supposed to do.
Mm.
But if you don't get out of bed at a good time, or if you don't go to bed at a good time, then messing up your sleep schedule is bad for your brain and bad for your health.
Mm.
If you don't brush your teeth, then your teeth are going to get damaged. They're going to get rotten. You might get gum disease or
right.
like cavities, and then that's bad for your teeth.
Mm.
If you don't eat breakfast, well, then you're not priming your body with the energy it needs to start the day. And so these things, they're not exciting. They're not supposed to be exciting because they're routine.
Mm.
But you need to do them anyway.
Mm.
And so, like you said, when you have a job or when you've worked many jobs, you know like what excites you and you know what is boring. But if you keep doing the exciting things again and again and again, then they become boring too.
Mm, yeah.
So it's a good way to keep yourself measured. It's a good way to keep yourself contained.
Mm.
You have to do a little bit of something boring in order to make the exciting stuff more exciting.
Mm, exactly. I think what we wanted to talk about or emphasize is the exploration help us to understand the hard work is necessary. However, if we don't have that exploration, we only compare with when we're lying down the couch and watching TVs versus when we do hard work. Mm-hmm. Of course, you will feel like I hate working, right? But then it's really not that we hate working. It's really about like what excites you, right?
Yeah.
So we try so many things, we can feel the excitement. So the excitement is what we can differentiate this kind of work.
Or even beyond excitement, there's also like the motivation that you have, be it like inside yourself or outside of yourself,
right?
Like a good example I have is one of my friends. Her mother is a nurse, and she works at a long-term care facility.
Right.
And so as a nurse at this facility, her job is she has to make sure that all the patients are doing well. She has to check their vitals. She has to give them their medication and make sure that they're following whatever is in their chart, all their procedures, all their daily routines. And so because the facility focuses on people who have mental health conditions,
right,
it can sometimes be a very difficult environment to work in. She was actually just put on leave for a couple of months because one of the patients bit her.
Right.
And so you would think, oh, you know, it's a tough job. You could probably get a better job like with your degree because she's an RN. So she could probably work for the government and probably make more money there.
Right.
But she's staying with this job. She just got off of her leave and she's back to work because she's motivated by these people who live here. She's worked here for so long. She's developed relationships with these people in the home. She knows them all by name. She knows their birthdays without looking at their charts. She knows their family. She knows their preferences and their likes and dislikes. And so she's, even though she was injured by a resident, she's motivated to come back to work because of the job itself.
Right.
So it might be hard. She has mentioned many times she doesn't like some of the work, but she still goes back because at the end of the day, it is fulfilling for her.
Yeah. So I think I feel the same, that when I feel like, oh, this is the kind of job or work that I'd like to do, but it still includes or contains the tedious part. However, when I try enough things, I have this comparison to see how do I feel when I do different things. And then after having some scale of data, then I understand, okay, maybe this direction would be better. And then it's probably not yet clear enough.
Yeah.
However, I can still go there and then try more things within that niche. And then I try more. And eventually I be in the part followed by my feeling of, okay, this is what I like to do. But there's a tedious work as well. However, when I do this thing, I see excited and I see how it kind of connected the dots where I came from. And then eventually it become one day my competitive advantage. And then that is something that we would call, oh, this is our talent, or this is something we're just magically better than other people, but it's not magic, right?
No, I do agree that like talent does matter, but talent can never compare to effort or practice. And like you said, you have to try a whole bunch of different things in order to get a data set, in order to create a baseline to know how good you actually have it. But then doing this exploration, you'll learn a lot about yourself. And so it's
about learning about yourself.
Exactly, because nothing in life that is worth doing is easy.
Right.
If it's easy, it's probably not worth it.
Yeah. So I think I would say China, as somebody who grew up in China and got the foundational education in China, so I understand that the most. And I can compare with the university life, because I do agree that maybe we're being too strict about the high school, middle school, so we really care about education. But I think that really helped me to build some kind of resilience. However, when I went to university, went to the college, I think I got this almost unlimited compared with my high school life, freedom for me to explore all different kind of things.
That's actually something that happens all over the world, basically. I would say that it's also happened here in Canada as well, where you'll see it's not even just that there's so little in high school and then so much in university.
Right.
It's just that you get this immediate push because I think I've also, I can say that I've kind of shared the experience because my parents are Indian as well. Mm. And so when I was in high school, it was a lot more restrictive. There were a lot more limits on, like, you know, what I was allowed to do, who was not necessarily who I could hang out with, but like when I could go out and like spend time with my friends.
Right.
And then when university comes around, I'm working a part-time job, I'm taking classes part-time, and all of a sudden I have all this time because in high school, what it was is I finish my work, I study for my tests, and when I'm ready, I'm done.
Right.
And in university, you can do your assignments and study and then be done and then still have like a whole week. So what are you supposed to do with all that time? It becomes really overwhelming, especially when you've never really done much of anything else. Because I know it's not really common in the Indian community here in Canada, but I know it's very common back in India, where, and most likely also China. I know it's a big thing in Japan and Korea, where it's a very study focused, where you wake up early in the morning, you go to school before school, then you go to school, then you go to your actual school, your actual high school, then you go to a cram school afterwards, then you go home,
then you have a school after school after school,
and then you finish all your work, and then you wake up the next day to do it all again, because everything is so academically focused. But another thing I've learned, and another thing that we're kind of seeing now as we're in sort of the later stages, because like the previous generations where this emphasis on education has happened, we're seeing the sort of fallout after, where everybody is graduating with degrees and there are not enough jobs for people who hold those degrees.
Right.
And then we forget that there's so many other services that require technical certifications or technical diplomas that you can't get at a university. We're forgetting the importance of trades. A good, a funny thing one of my friends told me, he's an electrician, and he told me that when AI comes, it will write your reports, but it's not going to unclog your toilet.
Interesting metaphor. Well, yeah, I think from somebody like you grew up in Canada and you were born and grew up in Canada, so you understand the system very well. And that's what I wanted to say, is that the university has a lot more choices, I would say. Definitely more choices than the college in China. But what I wanted to even probably carefully criticize a little bit is that now the competition, it's so fierce in China that they slowly moving this high school schedule into university, where the students probably suffer from that too. So the freedom that I enjoy and I had allows me to explore all different kind of things, and eventually I came here and I explored more. And I would say more of the system here in North America is that they offer different kind of courses and clubs for you to try, like this station, right? And also, like in Bark, you can learn gardening, and you can go to like AI lab to join these different workshops. You can hold your different workshop, your own workshops as well. So I think that space is really important. If you keep the student's schedule so full, they don't have any energy to explore.
It's a pressure vessel. When it gets too pressurized, it explodes.
Yes.
You're going to lose your mind if all you do is study. And so another thing that I can say is that it's, I don't want to call it an unfair comparison, but there is one big difference I know about just Asian countries in general versus like North America, in that like universities in North America are made to be more generalized. They offer many different courses. As part of my degree in health sciences, I was required, it was mandatory that I take courses in English and in humanities and in arts and other electives that were not part of my degree, because part of the degree is to experience more of what is out there. I am required to take classes that are not related to the title of my degree. So I'm a health science major. I've taken French courses and English courses and courses in First Nations history. And so those were required by my degree. And I know in it's a big thing in India that once you pass what's considered grade 12, the colleges and universities become hyper specific. So you'll have a college that is only for engineering or
India.
Only right. for medicine or right. only for accounting and finance.
Mm.
And so from what I know is that that also exists in China as well.
That's exactly what I would do.
We're like some of the more, and they're, it's even worse because they're considered like the top universities where it's like
right.
The top university is specifically only an engineering school. You go there only for engineering and they do not offer anything else. Meanwhile, yeah. over here, right beside the health sciences wing is the criminology wing mm. and then the First Nations studies wing.
Right.
And then just the general concourse where classes of all kinds take mm. place. So by virtue of literally being right beside the other buildings,
right.
I have exposure to this stuff. And mm. like you mentioned, in the library, which is like a good communal space, you'll find all these other sort of interesting things going on. Mm. Like right on the first floor is the makerspace with right. 3D printers and whatnot. If you go in as a student, you can sign up, take, I think it's 40 hours of like learning, and then you can just use the printers. You mm. don't need to be a computer science student. You don't need to be in mechatronics or anything even computer or engineering related.
Right.
You just need to do the training, and mm. then you can use the printers. And just on the other side of that, you have recording studios.
Mm.
And just behind that, you have a book print, like an old type lab, where like before keyboards, they had like little metal bricks that you put ink on.
Right.
And then you would like press them. So like old printing presses.
Right.
They have that all on the same floor, all beside each other.
Right.
You don't need to be in a specific degree to use this equipment.
Mm.
You just need to sign up, take some training.
Mm.
Same with the radio station here.
Mm.
You don't need to be a communications major or anything. You need to sign up with the appropriate systems, do your training.
Yeah.
And once you've done your training, you're just here. You can do what you want so long as it's appropriate for the air. And they don't really have that in China and India. It's just you want to go to the best school because the best school will get you the best job.
Right.
But the best school is one thing and one thing only. You have 5,000 people all studying the same one thing. And if you are 0.5% lower than somebody else, then your entire life is worthless. Which is not true, not true in the
yeah.
slightest, especially when you consider principles of things like mathematics and engineering, which that's not a Chinese or Indian or English specific thing. If you learn engineering in China, the principles still apply in Canada. The only difference is maybe like the tolerances or the laws that you have to follow, the guidelines, but the basics of the principles of engineering apply all over the world.
Mm.
And so that gets back into the idea of like, yeah, if you learn English, then you can go around the world and bring what you have with you. Because if it's not working where you are, you don't have to feel confined to just a single place. Like
right.
when my dad left India, he didn't come straight to Canada. He went up to Finland and Sweden.
Oh.
And so he lived there. I even have family in Finland and Sweden who stayed
there. You do have
there.
A big family.
Big family everywhere. And so, okay. like, yeah, one of my cousins in Sweden is actually getting married.
Mm.
And so we got the invitation. That's going to be in Sweden. So that's going to be exciting. But, like, yeah, my dad didn't just come to Canada. He explored a little bit. He did his degree in Sweden. And
right.
then he came to Canada.
Mm.
And he did a degree in political sciences, but he's a real estate agent now.
Mm.
And I'm sure that there is overlap between what he studied and what he can use as a real estate agent. But I think in Canada, the statistic is somewhere around 60% of people who graduate university with a degree, they end up working long-term in a field that's not related to their degree at all.
Mm.
And so it's like you mentioned, if you explore, if you put feelers out there, you'll learn not just about yourself, but you'll learn all these other skills that will make you different, make
mm.
you maybe more appealing in this case. But then also, it's an Asian specific thing where they want us to be STEM. They want us to be like science, tech, engineering, math.
Yes.
Or accounting or something. If you're not one of those, then you are a disgrace to the family and do not even look at us. Which,
right,
I mean,
right.
I've heard this speech before.
Really?
Luckily not from my parents.
Mm.
My parents are relatively progressive in terms of their views.
Yeah, sounds like it.
They just want me to be able to look after myself and support a family.
Right.
They want grandkids. They all want grandkids.
Yeah. That's very similar to
yeah.
Chinese parents
so,
as well, though.
And so what people keep forgetting is, like, for example, if you have engineering, you need someone to make the materials that the engineers are going to then plan to put in a building.
Right.
So there's so many other jobs that are required in order to do this. Mm. If you're going into accounting, mm. right? Well, someone needs to own the business that needs the accounting services. So if you're going into medicine, well, people need to be doing dumb things or be aging so that way they get sick so doctors can treat them, mm. right?
They want it to be interdisciplinary.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And so interdisciplinary, multifaceted, having different skills is good, but also STEM is not as good as everyone says it is. There are so many other more fulfilling careers that can be more impactful, if not on a public level, then at least on a personal level,
right,
that you should consider as well. Like, I mean, I do my music as well. I'm in an orchestra. I'm getting paid for my work. So technically, I'm a professional musician.
Yeah, right. I agree. I think in China, it's the same. Like, they like to compare with the major of arts and science mm-hmm. major, like as if they're enemies. But actually, mm-hmm. you wanted to take a little bit more. You wanted to find your own pillar, like the main pillar, mm-hmm. What you wanted to do by exploring a lot of things.
And it's even funnier because here in at SFU, I know, they'll offer arts versions of science courses. So, for example, right. I did a bachelor's of science in health science. Mm. You can do a bachelor's of arts in health science. What does that mean? That means you're not taking as many laboratory courses.
Right.
You're still doing more, you're still doing a lot of biology-focused, like biochemistry-focused stuff, but you're not doing the laboratory courses. You're doing more focus into things like health ethics, policy, law, that kind of stuff. And that matters because doctors have to follow the rules. Who sets the rules? The people with the arts degrees.
Right. I think one thing that I always share with my audiences is that one of the biggest fun that I have here is to explore all different kind of things just in the campus, because I just walk around and see, wait, what this room is about and what that room is about. And then we have different kind of museums here. Mm-hmm. So I also attended a university in New York where they were very competitive. They were top. It was a top school. It was a top university. So somehow it becomes really similar, like Chinese or Asian style, where you're so competitive because you have to be so focused and win the competition, so you cannot be really distracted. That could be one thing that helps you to win a competition. Mm-hmm. However, what SFU offers is this interdisciplinary, diverse, and cultural environment for us to explore. Yeah. And what can I say? Welcome to SFU. Yeah.
And if I could end off on one thing, my goal is I want to get into medical school.
Right.
I'm studying for the MCAT right now.
Mm.
But then I have a medical mentor down in Texas. And so I've been speaking to him. And he told me a story about someone else he mentored at one point. He was a student of osteopathy,
mm.
and he had amazing test scores. He was possibly the smartest person ever. He did his osteopathy exams,
right,
as well as doing his US MLEs, mm. even though he just did his DO. So he was very smart. But whenever it came to his interviews before matching,
right,
he would always flunk out of the interviews because he was, and the way my mentor described it is creepy. He was not fun to be around.
Right.
He did not know how to speak. He did not know how to have a conversation. He always had this air of superiority mm. on him. And he always believed that his grades were the only thing that mattered and would be the only thing that would get him through.
Right. So
he failed to match three times
right.
and is no longer a doctor.
Okay. Yeah. Well, yeah. Thanks for sharing that story.
Yeah.
I think that really tells us a lot. Well, we wanted to hear more from you, and it sounds like you have a lot of interesting and insightful thoughts. However, we're
running out of time.
Yeah, exactly. So, but we will invite you back to be our guest, and our audience has also enjoyed your sharing. All right. Thank you so much for tuning in, and we will talk to you next week. Bye-bye.